This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming.
And welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 6:04 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down south and check in with our good friend, Captain Rihanna De La Cruz, see what she's up to this morning. Good morning, Rihanna. What's up?
Good morning, Mickey. How are you?
Couldn't be better. I'm here. It's all good.
Yes, it's pretty good here, too. Man, the fishing's been so great over here.
You had a great week. Yeah, let's hear about
it. Man, oh, man. You know, when it gets this good, I'm like, man, I need to pinch myself and see if this is real. Am I dreaming? But there's so much bait here. You know, I'm here in Baffin, and I fished Friday, Saturday, fishing a day, off Monday, and fishing Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
Tide's still, you know, water levels are still really high, which, you know, the water clarity here is absolutely beautiful. I mean, in some areas where last year it was really chalky, stained, you know, just kind of looking murky, you know, we were in a little bit of a drought all summer, you know, not much rain around dove season. We didn't get as much rain as we have been getting this, you know, late summer, early fall, like we didn't get that last year. So areas where there's normally not grass, there's grass there. And I'm like, this is nice, you know, a little grass line here, a little potholes, and, you know, it spread out in between. I'm like, wow, this is different. You know, places where it's usually hard-packed sand, the water is clear and a little bit of grass. And what I think has promoted that is the amount of fresh water that has entered into, you know, the estuaries here in Baffin. Mm-hmm. Which a lot of those, when we get those big rains west or north of here, they all come in through the Santa Gertrudis, which run, you know, that comes into the back of Alazan. And then you have out west, all that rain runs into the Salada, which comes from, you know, out in the King Ranch and in those areas. But
yeah.
I believe they have a dam out there. That dam has to fill up first, and then all of a sudden that water starts seeping out, and it runs out into the Salada. But our bay system here is just thriving completely. I mean, the amount of bait that's here, the bait lines that are moving early in the morning, and they're defined. I mean,
yes.
you can see them. They're slick lines, and pelicans are you know, roosted up early in the mornings on, you know, on our way to you know, where we're fishing. Mm-hmm. The pelicans are just all roosted up, and then all of a sudden, once that sun starts breaking over the horizon, here they come, and they're diving hard on them slick lines. And that bait, I mean, just silver shimmer, just absolutely full. I mean, a plethora of ideal size mullet, you know, 3 to 5 inch mullet. There's horse mullet. You see them more kind of spread out.
Yeah, but that's
out
what
random.
I was impressed with when the couple of times I've came down and fished with Cliff, and the amount of finger mullet y'all have in that system. And that's what we were working, you know, with top waters and
yep.
And stuff like that. It just it was incredible how much bait was lined up in those, and you know, those tide line areas, just exactly like you're talking about. And it's hard to roll a topwater through there without getting knocked down. That's awesome.
Right. It is. And you know, any kind of, and here lately, last couple of days, the wind has been early in the morning, there's a little bit ripple, which is perfect. I love a little ripple out of the northwest. One day is out of the northeast, one morning is out of the, you know, southeast. So it's been kind of shifting. Depending, you know, yesterday we had a little bit of low pressure. You could see those clouds building up in the horizon off to the east, and they were forming some little scattered showers and, you know, running out to our area. You could feel a little cool updraft every once in a while. I'm like, man, you feel that little low pressure we just went through. And so the wind was kind of, you know, it was coming out of the direction of those bigger storms that were out to our northeast.
Mm-hmm.
And so the bait lines, you know, of course, here in Bath, it's all wind driven. And, you know, it was pushing that bait towards us. We were fishing into the wind, you know, kind of at an angle at a 45 from the shore. And those bait lines were just being pushed slowly to us. And once we got to them, boom. There's a bite, and then one of my other guys would get a bite, and then I would get a bite. I'm like, okay, let's just plant here. And once we wore that bait line out and it moved past us, another one would come in, and same deal. And you know, the wind would pick up, and then the bite would pick up, and then the wind would die, and then
right.
Our bite would die. And so Friday, we first thing in the morning, it was a little bit ripple, you know, a little bit of wind, and we were, and my guys, they like to throw, one of them likes to throw top waters, the other one likes to throw Little John XLs, different mm-hmm. colors and whatnot, soft irons, and of course me, I love to throw a tail first thing in the morning. If they're not biting the tail, then I don't, you know, I'll go to my,
right.
what I call confidence lure, the boogeyman, but, yeah, that morning, I hadn't got a bite. You know, my guys were just railing them. I mean, you know, 5 first thing in the morning, a 6 after that, 6.5, another 5, you know, solid 4 to 6 pound trout.
Awesome.
All morning long. And, And I was like, man, y'all get after us. You know, they were on the good line. I always stay up shallow. And yeah. If I got someone that's a little bit taller, I'll put them out, you know, in an area that's a little bit deeper and have them work, you know, a parallel drop off or gut or, you know, an area that's a little bit deeper. And we, you know, someone's working top water, I'm throwing a little John, small one, and then someone else is throwing like a Dine or an XL. So in the morning, we're kind of searching. And so it didn't take them very long to walk into them, and I was up shallow. Just I was like, oh, I know sooner or later it's going to be one. It's going to cross my line. And I hadn't got a bite all day, not even a little nibble or nothing. And 12:30 comes around, and the wind had died between the morning, mid morning, to about 11:30. And right around 11:30, the wind picked up and it was blowing, you know, into the shoreline, at a windward shoreline, got up on the on a grass line, and I was up shallow. Of course, my guys were out a little bit deeper, so we were out casting into the shore. And it was later in the day, of course, so the barometer felt like it was climbing. And I was like, man, I could just, you know, you just feel that barometer rising. So I switched over to a Little John Golden Brim, the small one. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't five casts. This trout thumped it so hard. And she came up, you could just see her, you know, her mouth and kind of her right under her belly. She came up and just crashed it. And they both stopped in their tracks and they looked over at me and they're like, whoa. I looked over at them and said, it's a big one, boys. I said, it's a big one. I bowed up on her and I reeled her in closer. She came up and crashed her head more and just shook. And I said, yep, it's a toad. And so they came over and that was the last and final bite of the day. They're like, oh, that's all we got to see. Let's take some pictures and call it a day. So, you know, one bite is all it takes to satisfy
them.
And that was it, you know. And one of my guys goes, man, you know what? I admire your persistence. He said, you know, you're casting, you're twitching, it never changed. He said, you were over here racking in fish, and you weren't. And I mean, you stayed persistent and it paid off. I said, that's right. I said, you know, when you love doing something so much, it's, you know, and you believe in your mind and your gut that you believe that they are there. They live there. You've caught them there. You know what that area can produce. You know, what your clients and you've produced. You have a sense of, you know, belief that sooner than later, you're one cast away from, you know, a 6 to an 8 pounder, possibly even an 8 pound plus trout. You know, most of these trout that we're catching are really healthy. They're, you know, one that one of my guys caught on Friday, she had a belly that was just, I mean, full. And, you know, she wasn't very long. She was like maybe 25-ish. Yeah. And man, she had a belly on her. I mean, they've got so much food to go around, you know.
Just
got
wait till this winter, you know, when they really start, you know, fattening up for, you know, January and February. There's going to be some good weight caught down there. There'll be some TMs caught this year, I think.
I believe it, yeah. Mickey. You know, that trout, that last trout that I caught, she was 29, and of course, she was so long that it was hard to hold her up and get a measure on her. Right. I wanted to take her back to the boat, but you could tell that she was an older trout because just the way her scales appeared, they didn't have that real vibrant blue and purple and pink. She had, you know, whenever you get brown tide and you see that brown color, uh-huh. That's the color she kind of had on the top of her head. She looked worn out. And she was crashing. I said, I would take her back to the boat, but she fought really hard. I fought her really hard. You know, yeah. She's older. I said, let's just take a quick picture and I'm going to let her go. Cause I would have loved to have tagged her, but you know, I walked pretty far from the boat and it would have been a long way. She would have been on the boat.
You did the best thing. Yeah, all right, Rihanna. So, well, hey, I got to roll out of here. Guess who I'm going to talk to after you this morning? Jay Watkins.
He called me last night.
We talked yesterday, got on the phone, and we're both long-winded, and that conversation lasted way longer than it should have had, but we're going to continue this morning. But, hey, give some info out. Somebody wants to come down to Baffin or Mansfield and fish with you. Book a package and get on down there and get on them while they're getting good.
Well, my number is 361-296-5400. I've got some dates available in November. I would love for someone to book some trips before the cold fronts come in and change up these patterns, because the patterns here in Baffin are consistent. We're catching great trout. So give me a call and let's get something on the books.
All right. You got them nailed down right now. Stay with them.
Sure do, Mickey.
All right. We'll catch them up today. Take care of your sports.
Will do, Mickey. You take care.
See you. Nice talking to you, Rihanna. All right. Later. All right, that's Rihanna De La Cruz down in Baffin. All right, well, I need to take a moment to tell everyone about Boyd's One Stop, the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers, and they're located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke at 227 Dyke Road. And if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, their bait's as good as it can possibly be, and there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament catch than with their oxygen response system. Check them out firsthand at the store. All their bottles are on display, all their diffusers, regulators. And if you need more info, you can call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. And when you're at the store, check out all their great prices and availability on wild-caught Gulf seafood. No farm-raised at Boyd's. And check out their Cajun Grill next door. They put out some really good food at good prices. Check them out at boydsonestop.com, or you can give them a call at 409-945-4001. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Go Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 621 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down south again. Let's check in with Captain Jay Watkins. Hey, man.
Good morning.
Hey, buddy. What's going on? It's been a while since we got to talk to you on the air.
I know. Well, you know, like I've told you before, I don't like to talk about the same thing, and sometimes it takes me, in my older years, it takes months for me to find something new. Yeah, Lord. I know people would think, well, gosh, can't be anything new. I mean, after basically, I guess it was 1979, 80 when I started. I mean, after 45 years, what can be new?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? There's tons of things that are new. As far as, you know, the way, we talked about it before, you know, fishing pressure and things, just things change, you know. And that was really evident the last couple of weeks. And, you know, Mickey, me and you've talked a lot about bass fishermen. You know, I know both of us have a lot of respect for bass fishermen, you know, for their fishing intel.
Yes.
And for their fishing intelligence, you know. They don't, you know, today it's a little bit different. They do see them today. But, you know, back then they didn't see them very much. And they caught them. And, you know, in bass fishing, I was telling my guys this last week, in bass fishing there's always this term of finesse fishing. And I don't think saltwater guys think too much of finesse. But we do a lot of things that's finesse.
Yes.
A lot of things. You know, the way you work a tail where your wrist, your fingers are holding your reel, but you're not gripping. I never forget that day I fished with you. You work a tail. It's like it's loose in your hand. I'm like, the big one gets it. I don't know how it's going to jerk it in his hand. I don't know how it does it. But that's basically, you're wanting that lure to do a certain thing and stay in a certain zone all the time. And you're trying to make fish do something that she wouldn't normally do during a non-feeding period, which is eat something. That's finesse. That's the definition of finesse. Trying to get something to do something it doesn't want to do. Manipulating it, you know. So, you know, last week, now our fish in Rockport has picked up. You know, we still got a way to go. I mean, there's no doubt we're catching lots of small fish. But we're getting there. I mean, if we can get another winter or two without a freeze, we're going to get some bigger fish back in our bay system. But it's been a finesse type of thing. You know, they don't want the top water really well. They don't want it very long. You know, they don't really want a double D or a Miradine. I mean, they'll eat one, but they don't really want it. But if you get a bait down underneath the mullet, and if you can dust it from grass edge to grass edge, understand where that grass edge is, understand where you have to cast, and understand where you've got to tickle grass. That's another bass term, tickle the grass with that jig. You figure that out, you're fixing it. And that's finesse fishing.
Yes.
And you know, we discovered it. I mean, we know it. I mean, we know it, but it came to light on a day where I had a group of people, and one of the ladies was fishing, and she was fishing slower than everyone else, and she was catching getting a lot more bites. And I told the guys, I said, y'all learning anything here? Well, yeah, I guess she's just luckier we are today. I said, no. She's got her bait in the right column. I said, you need to take that topwater off, and I need to take this double D off. We need to get down in the column where they want to eat. That's where they're wanting D. They're eating it. She's catching them. She's getting really good bites. We dropped down, you know, went to work on edges and points within potholes, caught some beautiful fish, you know. And it was, had you not done that, had you not communicated, had you not paid attention to each other, guess what? You would have thought they just weren't biting. Or even worse, Mickey, you'd have thought they weren't there. Mickey, how many days do you go and don't catch them and know within your heart when you lay down that night that you were sitting on top of them?
That's happened a bunch.
Probably just about every time you go.
Yeah.
Probably just about every time you go.
Yep.
You have the mindset, which is what makes you a great fisherman, and what makes most good anglers really good, the mindset that they're there. I've just got to figure out how to catch them. You know,
the biggest part of the game we play is making them eat, man.
Yeah, and you know, it frustrates me to hear people say, you know, when they don't, it frustrates me when I say, well, you know, they just don't want to eat. You can't catch them when they don't want to eat. That's, you know what? That's not true. That's not true. You can catch some. You might not be able to catch the mother load, but if you find enough fish where competition for bait will make one of them bite just to keep the other one from getting it. If you can put that lure in a place where it's not a lot of work for her, you can catch fish. You know, and I just think that's what the best guys do best.
Yeah,
is catch them when maybe they're not supposed to catch them. You know, right now with, you know, fronts coming and then big long periods between fronts because we're not really, you know, into winter. We got lots of periods behind the fronts where conditions to a novice angler, they would say to me in the morning, gosh, it's gorgeous. Man, it's not a breath of wind. It's 74 degrees. You know, man, high today is going to be 80. Man, it's perfect, right? And in my mind, I'm like, not really.
It's perfect, you know, for us, but it isn't for the fish.
It isn't for the fish. But guess what? And you know this, and James knows it, and, you know, I mean, all of us old guys, I'm not mentioning very many guys. That doesn't mean I don't respect all the rest of them. It's just that there ain't very many of us old guys left. We got to stick together. Now, just so you know, I've done just the opposite in my pro staff stuff with some of the companies I work with. I have surrounded myself with young studs, you know, because they make me look good.
They compliment you. You got that right.
They compliment you. You know, yep. and they're the future, and they're the future of this fishery. But that said, you know, I don't think that people realize that our entire lives, our livelihood has depended upon getting them to eat. I don't care how many years you've been doing it. We've been doing it, how many podcasts you've done, what you're following on social media is, how many tournaments you've won. If you take a guy three or four times and he don't catch any, he's not coming back the fifth
or
sixth time.
That's it. He's out.
He's not. And you know, and I don't want him to because he's jinxing me.
Well, my old saying's always been, you got to book a guy for 3 days, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And if you don't get him in those 3 days, it's time to move on. Find you another guy to fish with, you know?
That's right. I mean, and people, I don't think that people realize that. You know, I had a guy tell me on the boat not too long ago, he goes, I said, yeah, well, we've caught about 17 this morning that have been slot fish, you know, a couple of reds. He said, you're counting them? I said, absolutely. I need to know how many we caught so that tomorrow when I talk to the guys, I can tell them. He goes, man, it's your stage in the game. People will go with you. They're not counting. I just looked at him. I said, shut up.
I beg your pardon. It's just like saying these kids don't keep score in these games if they don't keep score in. They're keeping score. That's a fact.
I guarantee it. I bet you there's not a professional golfer out there that ever plays with buddies a casual round of golf that they're not betting. That they're not betting hole to hole.
That's competition. That makes
it makes the world go round. You know, I mean, you know, when I'm out there on any given day, or every day, I'm trying to beat everybody at the I'm trying to put my people on the best. I catch the most fish, the best fish, every day out there. I'm keeping score. You know, I'm keeping score. You know, the only person I really talk to on the water is Jay Ray. You know, when I'm in Mansfield, maybe I'll talk to some other people once in a while. It's usually just Jay Ray. You know,
right?
You know, we're keeping score. We need each other. We're betting.
Sure.
Most days we're betting before we leave the dock on biggest trout for the day. You know, get in, push it to Tuesday, push it to Wednesday, winner take all. I mean, it's the nature of who we are, and it drives you. You know, back in the old Trout Masters days, competition drove you. you know, and it still does. You know, today, at my age, what drives me is trying to figure out a better mousetrap, trying to figure out how to catch them just a little bit better. You know, where in this bay do I see structure and a food source that I very seldom ever see anybody fishing? Where is that?
Yes.
And then fish there. You know, why? Well, because it's got all the right ingredients, and it's not getting any pressure. You know, you can't believe that the bay system, Trinity, East Galveston, Baffin, Aransas Bay, Redfish Bay, down here in Fort Madison, you can't believe that it's only the places on the map. You can't believe that it's only Gladys's. You can't believe right. that it's only Cedar Bayou South and Cedar Bayou North that have big fish. Because it's not. There's other places. The reason those places continue to show a lot of fish is a lot of people fish there.
Well, that's true. Now that I'm older and I can't stand crowds and all that, I like to fish the off the beaten path areas that don't get a lot of pressure and boat traffic. And then when you do find something, you've really found something. Especially
yes.
with the bait source and the structure and all the things.
Yep.
I mean, we've been around a lot. We know. I mean, if it looks right and it smells right, you better get your butt out of the boat and get on it, because it's happening. It's there.
Yeah, if it walks like a duck, if it looks like a duck, it's a duck.
Exactly. Hey, let me knock his break out. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Hang on a second, man.
All right.
Well, I need to take a moment to tell everyone about the Belleville Meat Market, located right in downtown Belleville. And go by their store, check out their smoked sausage samples. They're available daily in the store. You can try it before you buy it and see which blend you like. And they have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And check out their pecan smoked pulled pork, their homemade hot dogs. They're available on the menu also with bulk pricing available on their fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage. And check out their original country hot dogs. Buy two packs, get the third pack free. And if you're looking to have a quarter or a half calf process, that's available for pre-order also. And their wild game processing facility, just in time for deer season, they have a new sausage recipe available. You got to try it and get you some deer tamales, venison hot dogs. Your family will love that you did. And they're now taking orders for country smoked turkeys. These are 11 to 13 pound average weight birds, and they have a limited supply, so get them while you can. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Final segment already, 6:38 here in the Bayou City. Let's go back and talk some more with Jay Watkins. All right, Jay, we're back, buddy.
All right. Well, hey, yeah. You know, what we were talking about a while ago, we were talking about finesse a little bit. And, you know, I was explaining last week to my guys last week, I said, when this, you know, in Rockport, when we get calm conditions like we've had, you know, we depend on current a lot, because we've got some areas where we get a lot of, you know, water movement during, you know, tidal periods, you know, close to the channel, around some of the, you know, the intercoastal, the Lydian. And I said, what you got to understand is which potholes are holding the type of fish that we want to catch. And I said, in 90% of the time, it's the shallow ones. And I said, this week it's not. And they said, why is that? And I said, because we've got about 10 or 12 inches of extra water.
Mm-hmm.
And they still want to be where they were. And the guy goes, what do you mean? I said, the bait is still out over the deeper potholes and deeper grass beds. The tide came up. Yeah, there's shallow potholes up here. Yeah, there's some shallow potholes with grass in them, but there's not any food there. The food is still out there deep. And I said, just because the tide comes up doesn't mean the fish always pull up. I said, if the bait source pulls up, yes. If the bait source does not, they will stay out there where they were before. And I said, those fish are still out there in 3 to 5 foot water.
Exactly.
And you know, they would say, well, you're not even a big proponent of that. And I said, you're right, I'm not.
No.
I'm a shallow water guy.
You got to improvise. You got to go where they're at, baby.
Well, you got to go where you're getting bit. And I explained that to him. And I said, look, and I said, you know what that means? I said, that means that cast with that soft plastic has got to be up current, and that drop has got to be longer than what you would normally do. And I said, what I ran into as a young angler was I would have the same cadence and the same rhythm for 2 foot of water that I did for 5 foot. That don't work.
No, it doesn't.
You're never getting the bait down to where they're at. You told me one time we were fishing mud bulls and slicks in Trinity, and you said, oh, my box up. You said, if you melted all those jig heads together, Jay, you wouldn't have enough weight. You said, go to my burgers. They got paper sacks full of gumballs. Go over there.
That's it. Hey, man, you got to get the gumballs on when that's going on. You got to get deep quick. Well, I'm getting deep. I said, yeah, but you've already, by the time you got that 8 ounce head down, you're already past the fish. You've got to get up current and get it down quick and then run it through the depth the fish are at all the way back to the boat.
That's right. That's exactly right. And, you know, the reason we bring that up is because even though I'm a huge fan, and even though I throw a 16th 90% of the time, I'll throw an eighth once in a while, there's a time when the current's really rolling. And when the fish are stage deep, there's a time to fish a heavier jig head.
You have to.
Deeper and get that bait down quick into the strike zone. Because a lot of times in that deep water, the strike zone in that pothole is small. It might be a foot. Might be a foot that they'll eat it. And then the rest of the time, they won't eat it. They might eat it on the entry into the pothole or the exit. And people say, well, how do you know that? You can't see that 5 foot of water. I said, you're right, I can't. I said, but I've waded on Trailer Island. I've waded the spoil banks, and I've sight cast the big trout, and I've seen how they react in shallow, clear water potholes. And most of the time, they immediately pick it up as it enters the pothole, or they follow it across and pop it before it exits. I said, seldom are they picking it up in the middle.
No.
They said, really? I said, that's what I've observed. And I said,
well, they like it around the edges because there's cover there.
Right.
They feel safer.
They feel safer. They're traveling the edge. And they also believe that when it gets to the edge, it's fixing to get away. It's fixing to be in the grass.
I've caught more on pothole fishing by the exit than I have the entrance.
Absolutely.
Simply because of that theory you just mentioned, the exit, that bait's fixing to get away and getting that cover, and I got to get him before he's gone.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, and you know, in Rockport, there's some areas where we've got really short, real soft grass, and you can get that jig right through that grass, and it doesn't foul in the grass. It's a real soft grass. Now, it's not turtle grass. Can't do that with turtle grass. You know, and I was explaining to the guys with turtle grass, I said, look, you got to keep the jig up, and when it comes to the edge, twitch it up, reel it in.
Tickle that grass, man.
Why?
Keep it right above the edge of it. Tickle it.
I
learned that from you a long time ago when you and Blaine and I were wading Trailer Island years ago. I got to watching how you were working that tail across the top of that grass. I said, man, I'm going down in the grass. I need to stay above it just enough.
Yep.
Get close to it,
just
but
enough.
Don't get in it. And boy, my catch ratio went up immediately.
Well, the trout are laying in that short grass, and their eyeballs are looking up.
Yes.
Half of their body's looking up, you know. And, you know, I would tell the guys the other day, I said, we were catching some legit, you know, 25-inch-plus fish. And I said, what do you notice about these trout we're catching? They said, they're white. I said, yep. Their backs aren't very black. The spots aren't very black. I said, you know why? I said, because they're not on grass. They're in deep water and they're on sand. They don't need they don't need that black back in those spots to break up their outline. Then you get over into South Bay or the East Flats, get on that short grass, you start catching them. And their backs are dark green, heavy spots.
Because they're in the cover.
They're laying in that grass.
They're like chameleons.
That's right. They're laying in that. They're laying in that grass. You know, and you know, and those are just things that you have to pay attention to. And like I said earlier, the best fishermen do. That's why they're the best fishermen. You know, and I get guys all the time. What are you talking about, the best fishermen? You know, I just want to go out and enjoy the sunrise and the smell of the salt air. And you know, I said, that's great. I said, that's great. I said, but why do anything in your life and not try to be the best at it?
That's it.
Why not?
I mean, that's the American way in my book. That's kind of the way
I thought my life.
If I can't be the best at what I'm trying to accomplish here, then I'll move on to something else.
Yeah. Yeah. I was sitting at the car wash the other day, and I threw a piece of gum at the trash can, and it hit off to the side, and J. Ray looked at me, and I said, that's why I sat on the bench in basketball. He goes, yeah. He goes, guy, you had a piece of gum as big as your thumbnail and a 55-gallon drum. How can you not throw it in there?
Yeah.
I said, well, you just split.
He may not have been to put that round ball in that hoop, but, buddy, you can put a lure in a pothole in a heartbeat.
I can put that lure in. Well, and you know, and I'm glad you said that. That's another thing. Can you put the lure where you need to put it to catch a fish? How many people go fishing and start fishing and don't ever practice? They don't ever practice casting. Well, I'll practice when I get out there. You're in the game when you get out there. You know, practice at home, you know, away from high lines, of course, but, you know, practice, you know, at home. Practice casting. You know, even when you're fishing, pick a spot. Pick something out there to throw at every cast. What do you mean? I said, if it's overcast, just pick something. Practice on casting accurately to something. See what your distance is. Know how far it is you can cast. You know, how far do I need to stop before I get to those potholes and still be able to reach them? I said, because the farther you can stand back from them. Yeah. I said, the farther. I had a guy the other day. He goes, man, I can't believe a backlash of this thing. He said, you know, I got the brakes on. He goes, how many brakes do you have on yours? I said, none. He said, why don't you use brakes? I said, why don't you use brakes? I said, well, I use an educated thumb. I said, it just sits, it's not really pushing on the spool, but it's on top of the spool all the
time.
It's
riding it very lightly. You get back to this casting you were talking about. I mean, it's like swinging a shotgun. You got to shoot where you look. And casting is the same way. And you shouldn't even have to think about it. And I mean, wherever I look, if I see a little platter-sized, you know, pie plate-sized slick pop up, my guys ask me all the time, how do you put it in there? I said, don't even think about it. Just throw it.
That's right.
Just where you're looking, just throw. And, you know, that's...
Your eyes are the perfect gauge.
Yeah.
Your eyes, if we could follow the line of sight with our arm and with our fingers... If you point at something, you'd be surprised. If you just picked your finger up and you pointed at an object and you could shoot a laser out of the end of your finger, you'd be surprised at how dead on accurate that is.
Exactly.
And that's because of your arm, because of your eyes.
You know, because that rod in your hand is just like an extension of your arm.
It's just like
holding a tennis racket, same thing, golf club, whatever, baseball bat.
Right.
I mean, it's hand-eye coordination, and if you've got it, you can be spot on every time. Just put it where you look.
That's why you see a lot of fishermen that are really, really naturally born fishermen, and if you start inquiring, most of them played some type of sport that required eye-hand coordination.
They're athletes.
They're athletes.
We may not look at older in age and after all the wear and tear, but your early careers you were, you know, and I was always a jock all my life, but fishing just came. It was just second nature to do what we're talking about. I mean, it's you either got it or you don't, man.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, and I get on the boat and I tell people that all the time. I said, look, I said, it is a sport that you can learn to do. Some people just are more natural at it. And I said, but I said with hard work, you know, and listening and coaching, you can get really good at it.
Yes.
You know, and obviously, you know, I tell people this all the time. They say, well, you know, you catch a lot of fish. And I said, I should. I've been doing it for a long time. I do it all the time.
If you don't, as long as you've been doing it, you got problems.
I said, if you're going day in, day out, if you go fishing two or three times a year and you are shellacking your guide every time you go, you might be with the wrong guy. I said, you might be with the wrong guy. And I'm obviously kidding about it, but I mean, there's some truth to it. There's some truth to it. I mean, I don't expect to go play golf with anybody and beat them because I'm not a good
golfer.
Right. You know, I mean, you know, I don't. Or shooting, I don't. You know, but when I go fishing, I do because I'm good at it because I do a lot of it, you know. So, anyway.
We've had a good run, brother. I've had the luxury of getting to fish with guys like you and Cliff and, you know, different. And I wish I could fish with all of them that I know that are good. It's just, you know, you don't have the time for it. But you're definitely you're an A-game guy. And even as long as you've been doing it, you still have the enthusiasm. And at our age, when you go out, you're not, it's like, you can teach an old dog new tricks. He can learn a lot of things still. The learning process never stops with what we do. There's always something.
Yeah. If the learning process stops, it stops because you allowed it to stop.
Yes.
Because you allowed it to stop. You know, and I'll close with this. You know, my son told me, he said, Dad, you can embrace these young anglers and their knowledge, or you can get your teeth kicked in. And he said,
little Jay Ray talking trash, boy, with his daddy. That's good stuff.
Yeah. You know?
Hey, I bet every time he gets in a boat with you, y'all go fishing together, I bet he's trying his damnedest to beat you down, man.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the way my son is with me. He'll start counting fish, goes, hey, I'm one up on you. I said, hey, this is a long day ahead of us here, buddy. Let's see what you got.
Yeah, me and J-Ray are the exact same way. I mean, we'll get on the boat together. We don't get to fish very much together, but when we do, it's on. And when you add the other one in there, you add Ryan in there with us, then it's really on, you know. So,
last time Wayne Webb and I fished with James, we went and I got kind of on a roll. I'm in the middle. We're fishing out of the boat, and Wayne's in the front, James in the back on a trolling motor. And I had a little flurry there where I got, hey, I looked over at James, and I mean, his face lit up. He is pressing, buddy. He is fishing his butt off. He said, there ain't no way I'm letting this old man beat me. It just brings out the best in everybody when you have that competitiveness, you know?
Right. Well, me and you both know James Plogg does not like to lose, and he's not a good loser either.
No, he ain't a good, kind of like my brother-in-law just passed away, old Pete. Boy, I tell you, man, me and James used to get under his skin so bad. He hated to lose. It was bad.
Oh, yeah. I was just with James one time, and he downsized and waded out deep, and the customers that were James's customers that had booked me and brought James, they said, you know what he's doing back there, don't you? I said, oh, yeah. I said, he's fixed to go get his five. And then he's going to be good. He's waiting out there. He's going to get his five, and he's going to be perfectly happy.
Exactly.
You know, you're right. And sure enough, he gets out there, you know, gets to whacking on them, and then it's like, okay, boys, you know, man, we've had a good day. This is good, you know. All right. I'm like, look at that. That's yeah, you got to love it.
Good times, brother. Good times.
It is.
Jay, I appreciate the conversation, and it's good having you on with all your knowledge and experience and all that, and we'll try to do this more if we can. And if
absolutely.
You ever need anything down that way, you got my number, brother. And if somebody wants to call you and get with you or Jay Ray and come down and do some fishing, whether it's Mansfield, Rockport, or what have you, give them a number so somebody can get a hold of you, my friend.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, you can call us at area code 361-463-1074. That's for Rockport and for Fort Mansfield.
And you hadn't lived. Make a wade with Jay Watkins, baby. All right, brother. Jay, always a pleasure, man. You have a good Sunday. See you, man.
Okay, you too. You too. Bye.
Thank you. All right. All right, that's Captain Jay Watkins. Jay Ray Watkins down in Rockport. I think he's in Rockport today, but he's back and forth between there and Mansfield. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. And go Texans. Hope they pull it out today. And you've been listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.